You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Recently, I had to put a new roof on the sunroom that is on the back of my house. Now, for several years, the room has leaked every single time that it's rained. And so every time there was a storm, Don and I would get our bowls. We had certain bowls that we would set out in strategic locations to catch the drips, and we would watch it drip. Now, I want you to understand something. I've had that roof patched several times. I am not a slacker as a husband. I've tried. But each time, a few months after we patched it, it would start leaking again. And finally, I gave up, and we just put a new roof on top of the old roof. And after it was done, we sat out there in our sunroom the first day that it rained, just so happy there were no drips falling on our heads. And we just sat there and wondered, why did it take us so long to put a new roof on this place? You know, I had been considering that option for a long time, but I had sort of become content just to live with drips and with bowls. And there were really two reasons why. Number one, I wasn't exactly sure this was the right solution. I mean, we had tried some other things and they hadn't worked. And number two, I didn't want to spend a lot of money. So we just kept trying to patch the leaks with cheap solutions that didn't work. And while I was dragging my feet, I want you to know that my wife was busy praying. Really, praying. She was praying that a tornado would come along and just take that part of our house and remove it. Not the whole house, just that room. Thankfully, the Lord did not listen to her prayers. But that's how frustrated she was over the whole situation. Now, why did it take me so long to fix the problem? The reasons were simple. It took less effort and much fewer resources to put bowls out than it did to really fix the problem. I just didn't want to pay the price that it was going to take to solve the problem. And isn't it that way with our marriage so often? For years, we live with the same frustrations and the same irritations. We fight the same fights over and over, and every time we just keep putting out bowls to catch the tears that fall from our face after those fights. But then when the storm passes and things settle down, we forget about the problem until the rain comes again. Why do we do this? Well, because it takes a lot more effort and resources to really solve problems in our marriage than it does to just keep putting temporary solutions in place, than to keep trying to patch the problem. You know why that old roof leaked, though? Seriously, you know why it leaked? Honestly, it was because it was a bad design. See, it was too flat. It was a really flat roof, and they didn't seal it properly around where the roof met the metal edges. See, the problem was I had been dealing with a problem that was created not by me, but that was created a long time ago when the whole thing was built. It was a wrong design. It had started out bad. And for many of our marriages, the same thing is true. The problems that we are experiencing today, well, they have their roots in decisions and patterns of behavior that we established years ago when we first started. Things in our relationship, they didn't start out right. Maybe when you first got married, you didn't know the Lord. You didn't know really what was a good way to organize and to start your marriage. Some of you came from rough home situations where you watched mom and dad do marriage, and mom and dad didn't do marriage very well. And that was your example. And you've just kind of carried on that example. And some of us, we made bad choices. And early on, we started relating to one another in the wrong ways. And we interacted with bad patterns. And we started on a bad foundation. And through the years, yeah, we've learned better ways to do things. But for most of our marriage, we've just been patching things up. We've just been slowly trying to repair leaks. Let me suggest to you this morning that we need to stop putting bowls out and cleaning up the messes that we're making when the storms come. Today, I want to challenge you to rebuild some things. And that's going to take some education, it's going to take some energy, and it's going to take a lot of effort. and it's going to cost you more than you think it's going to cost. But if you'll do it, you can really fix some problems. So this morning, we're going to go back to the beginning, and we're going to look at God's original design on marriage. And from His original design, we're going to come up with four components that are really going to help us with a healthy, leak-proof marriage, or help us develop a healthy, leak-proof marriage. Let's start reading in Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken out of man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." You know, guys, Adam was really a single guy in paradise. I want you to get the picture here. It just doesn't get much better than what Adam had. Here was a guy who didn't think he needed anything. He was just a man, alone with his God and with his job, and with his dog, and with his Chevy truck, and with his 90-inch big screen TVs. He didn't think he needed anything. Okay, maybe he didn't have the big screen TV and the Chevy truck, but he had the other things. He was content. As a matter of fact, Adam didn't think he needed anything. But God knew better. God knew that alone he was incomplete. He needed a companion, not another guy to play video games with. He needed a companion that would be similar to him, but different. He needed a companion that would compliment him and challenge him. A companion that would be similar, but different. Someone who would think differently and act differently and respond differently, and yet who would be compatible or comparable to him. And so, to reveal this need to Adam, God had Adam go out and explore the animal world. He said, "Adam, I want you to go name the animals." And it was in doing this little exercise that Adam realized there was really nothing comparable to him in God's creation. See, the animals were created male and female. And so he noticed, Mrs. Dog, Mr. Dog, Mrs. Cat, Mr. Cat. You know, he noticed there was they were different, but they were the same. And then he looked around. He said, nothing like me. And so finally he realized he had a need. And God had a solution. He took a body part from his side. It says a rib. We don't really know exactly what it was, but it was something from his side, and God created Eve and this woman, this perfect companion for him, and Adam took one look, and he said, "Hey, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." That's his way of saying, "Okay, God, she'll do. This is good." Now, I have a lot of theories here that I've thought of through the years, but one I want to share with you this morning concerning marriage is I have a theory that before the fall, before sin entered the world, marriage was a lot easier than it is today. You think that was true? I really think it was. I think, here's what I've concluded. If I weren't so selfish and self-centered, my marriage would be a lot better off. It'd be a whole lot easier for me. But I am. But you see, my wife is the perfect companion for me, even in my selfishness. Here's what I'm saying. There's not a problem here with God's design. See, with my roof, there was a problem with the design. There's not a problem with the design. See, marriage is not the problem, guys. The problem is the people in the marriage. God's design is great. The problem is I'm just sinful and selfish, and my wife can be from time to time a little bit herself. And because of that, it gets tough. Now, lately, I thought about, well, you know, God, why? Why marriage? Well, why did you come up with this idea? God, you know, and then it dawned on me one day that, you know, God knew that man was going to fall before he created marriage. He did know that. See, marriage was going to be the place where my selfishness would be revealed and challenged. In other words, marriage was going to be the place where God's greatest transforming work in my life would take place. And God knew that before the fall. And that's why he created it. It's not a design problem. In marriage, God's going to show me my need for change. He's going to challenge me to be more loving, less selfish. He's going to challenge me, James, can you really put the needs of another person ahead of your own? The question's still out there. We're working on it. See, through marriage, God's going to enlighten me that life is more than just about myself. You could say marriage is God's workshop for sanctification, for really bringing about change in our life. Are you ready for God to do some changing in your life? Now, let me tell you the funny thing that's going on in some of your minds right now, in many of your minds. Some of you are thinking about the changes that God needs to make in your spouse's life. And as I've been talking about selfishness and self-centeredness, you've been thinking, yes, amen, he is, she is. And as a matter of fact, when you wrote down a prayer request today, some of you were even thinking about that. And you were thinking, man, please pray for my husband. He's such a jerk. That's the way we think. But let me challenge you this morning to think differently. For just a few minutes today, I want you to think just about you and about the changes that God might want to make in your life. In other words, here's what God might be saying. I need to worry about what God is doing in me, not what he needs to do in my spouse. Say this phrase with me one time. I'm going to put it up on the board. Changing my spouse is God's problem. Changing me is my problem. Now, you say that with me. You didn't say it. I didn't hear you. Changing my spouse. You want me to put the little bouncing ball above? Changing my spouse is God's problem. Changing me is my problem. I'm losing some of you right now. How you doing so far? You with me? All right, now, with that in mind, that changing that guy's God's problem, changing me is my problem, let's spend the rest of our time looking at four components that are vital to help me know what changes need to be made in my life. Let's see how God can repair some of the damage that's been done in our marriage. Let's start in verse 24. God says, therefore what? In light of the creation that God's made of a man and a woman, he says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother. The first component that is required for a healthy, leak-proof marriage is creating boundaries that will protect my marriage. Now, I got a fence that I borrowed from outside that I thought we could have a little object lesson this morning. You know what boundaries are? Boundaries are simply fences. They're fences that I erect in my life that keep you on one side and me on the other. That's what they are. That's what healthy boundaries are. Now, one of the first boundaries that God says we need to put into our marriage, notice, is that we need to leave mom and dad. Why? Because here's the deal. The reason you need to leave mom and dad is you need to create some space between you and them when you get married. You need some protection from them. Did you know that? Some of you don't know that. Some of you young couples, you still think mom and dad, I need them. No, you don't. You need your husband. You need your wife. You need to create a boundary, a fence. Keep mom and dad on that side and you on this side and your spouse on this side. But I like my mommy and dad. Well, that's great. I'm glad you like them. But keep them on that side. God said, leave mom and dad. I'm amazed at how many couples don't see the importance of this. See, you can never establish a new family until you break the dependence on the old one. That's why the boundary is needed. It's all about who are you going to depend on. Are you going to depend on mom and dad, or are you going to depend on your spouse? See, that's the real idea here. We have to end our dependence on certain people in order to fully embrace our spouse. When we get married, we're saying, I'm going to depend on you and you're going to depend on me. I'm going to depend on you and you're going to depend on me. It's going to be between the two of us. We should never look to other people to meet the needs in our lives that should only be met by our spouse. Did you get that? You never look to someone outside your marriage to meet a need that should only be met by your spouse. Now, guys, there's a lot of applications to this in marriage. There are many places where we have to erect fences or build fences or boundaries in our lives. Let me give you just two or three. Number one, we need to have healthy boundaries from other ladies, if you're a man, or man, if you're a lady, other people of the opposite sex in our lives. I can't allow myself to get too close to another lady. I can't begin to share my heart with her because this will endanger my marriage. And so I've got to have a fence there. I got to keep them on that side. I got to keep me on this side. And when I start getting too close to the fence, it needs to become electrified. It needs to shock me. Say, wait a minute, you're getting too close here. See, what is it going to do to my wife when I start making an emotional connection to some other lady? It's not going to be good for my marriage. We also need healthy boundaries when it comes to other well-intended friends of the same sex. Now, we all need friends of our same sex. Guy, I need guy friends. My wife needs ladies' friends. But a lot of our well-intending friends will try to take too much of your time. And this isn't good for your marriage. And so sometimes you have to set up a boundary, especially maybe with some of your single friends, and say, you know what, I can't do that. You're single. I'm married. We're different now. You got to have a fence there. Now, I need other guys to fellowship with. That's why we have Men of Valor, to help some of you guys build relationships, friends. You need some other friends. Your wife cannot meet every need in your life. You need somebody to goof off with, to play golf with, to enjoy sports, whatever you enjoy doing. See, my wife and I, we tried to play golf together one time. Yes, we did. It was on our honeymoon. We were down in Amelia Island, and this wonderful husband had the great idea. Hey, Donna, there's a great golf course down here. Why don't we go play golf together? See, my wife did not understand the sacred nature of the golf course. So I'm on the seventh green fairway, and I'm about to hit a very, very important shot that was probably going to be the make or break shot of the day. And all of a sudden, I hear the cart, and I turn around and I look, and my wife is doing backward donuts in the middle of the fairway in the golf cart. It's the last time we played golf together. So we need some healthy boundaries in our relationships with other guys and with other girls. But we also need healthy boundaries with our children. I love my children with all my heart, but there needs to be boundaries there. See, it's important to realize that your relationship with your children is headed in just the opposite direction that your relationship with your spouse is. Do you realize that? See, from the time your children are born, we've talked about this before, but the whole direction that it's headed in your relationship with your kids is what? Become independent of me. So by the time they're 19, 20, 29, 30, hopefully they're going to be independent of you. They won't need you anymore. As a matter of fact, they'll put up a fence and say, Dad, stay out of my life. I'll say, yes, gladly I will. But do you see that your relationship with your wife is going in the opposite direction? It's going towards more dependence, more healthy dependence. The more we grow together, the closer we become. The two become one. Now, some of you are struggling a little bit with this. I'm sure some of you young parents, because you're like, I don't want to have boundaries with my kids. I love my kids. And, you know, that's okay. I'm glad you love your kids. You need to love your kids. But you do need to realize that when you start prioritizing them above the relationship with your husband, you have problems in your marriage. Where does the first place this shows up? Oh, children in the bedroom. You know, your children can stay in the bedroom with you when they're really small in that little bassinet because it's convenient. But, as you know, after a few months or so, what do they need? They need to be introduced to their own room. Why? Because they need to understand that there's a fence at the door. There's a boundary at the door of your bedroom. And you and your spouse, this is your room, and that's their room. And they need to. It helps them to begin to understand the need to have boundaries in their own lives. When I had three teenage daughters, you know, one thing I would never, ever do was walk into their room when their door was closed without knocking and waiting for them to say, hey, come in. Why? Because I wanted them to know that there's a fence there, there's a boundary there, and I'm not going to cross it. And they needed to learn the same thing about Mom and I's bedroom, that there's a boundary there at the door, and they don't cross it without permission and without asking. See, I've got to protect my marriage if my marriage is going to survive. So setting healthy boundaries in my marriage protects my marriage from the dangers that are all around me. And guys, there are lots of dangers around you. Some of you have very few fences protecting your marriage right now, and you need more. And you need to decide where to put them. You need to do some building and put up some boundaries. Now, he goes on and he says, in the latter part of that verse, he says, and be joined to his wife. Now, the second component that is required for a healthy, leak-proof marriage is creating a feeling of permanence that will bring some stability to my marriage. Now, I've been hiding this stuff because some of you guys are so ADD, you just couldn't concentrate with seeing what was out here. But let me pull it out now. I brought a bottle of glue with me this morning because glue makes a good reminder. This word joined in the Hebrew, to join two things together, it was the idea of gluing two things together in order that they would adhere to one another. See, the idea was in marriage, it would be a permanent bond. When two people say, I do, they're gluing themselves together. Guys, until you see your relationship that way, there will never be any stability in your marriage. Things will be rocky. I call it Lego construction. A lot of people use Lego construction in their marriage. See, the problem with Legos is Legos are meant for temporary construction. You know, they're meant that you can put them together and they can come apart. I love playing with Legos because they're just so cool things. You know, I always thought I was going to be an engineer because so I wasn't a very good engineer. But see, guys, your marriage is not like a Lego. As a matter of fact, you know how to ruin Legos? Glue them together. Any of your kids ever do that? You take glue, you glue them. You know, suddenly they're of no use anymore because you can't get them apart. Guys, marriage was not meant for Lego construction. It was meant for permabond construction. Have you ever tried to pull something apart that has been glued together by that super glue stuff? You know, if you use that stuff right, the way the directions say, and if you let it set really well, man, that stuff is great. You pull something apart, you'll break it before you'll break the bond where that super glue is. And that's the way God wants us to have our marriages, to where they're super glued together, where there's stability. Here's what a lot of couples do that really ruins the permanence in their marriage, or the feeling of permanence. See, they begin to threaten one another and do actions that are really rocking the situation and almost like a rocking canoe. You ever been in a canoe? My wife bought her and I a canoe 1 year for my birthday, I think it was. So we took it to the lake, and you know how hard it is to get in and out of a canoe? You know how hard it is just to sit in a canoe? And those things are so unstable. You lean to one side, whoop, and you flip over, and you fall, which is fun, but it's not the idea. The idea is to stay in the canoe. Guys, God didn't want our marriages to be like canoes. No, he wants us to be more like pontoon boats. But here's the way your marriage becomes like a canoe. It's when you start making statements like, if you do that again, I'm leaving you. Or even worse, when you get into a big fight and you actually do leave. Or other statements like, I should never have married you. Or our marriage was a mistake from the beginning. These kind of statements they'll doom your marriage. Because suddenly you'll think, God, there's no permanence here. There's no stability here. You're communicating to your spouse that your marriage is anything but permanent. Guys, understand, you cannot build a healthy marriage on such an unstable foundation. Both people have to be convinced that the other person is committed to the relationship. It can't work any other way. See, some of our couples here today, they live in fear every single day of the uncertainty of your spouse. Every day you feel like you're in that rocking canoe. You're almost getting seasick. You just want your marriage to be on solid ground. Both of you have to agree, no more threats. Oh, sure, we can argue and fight, but no more leaving. No more threats of divorce. No more statements of regret that we're in the marriage. All of this has to end. You have to make a commitment today. See, you can't always control how you feel, guys. This is not about how you feel about your spouse. It's about controlling what you say, and it's controlling where your feet go. You have to keep them firmly planted in the commitment that you've made. You've got to glue yourself together in a permanent bond. Then he goes on and he says, and they shall become one flesh. The third component that is required for a healthy marriage is creating harmony in the marriage. Now, I love harmony. I'm gonna play something for you on my fancy piano that I have here on my iPad. I want you to listen to these two notes. Now notice when I play them together. Listen to how beautiful they sound. Those two notes are not identical notes, are they? One was a C, one was an E. They're not identical notes, but boy, when you put them together, they make beautiful harmony. And this is the way God created man and woman. We're not identical. We're very different in a lot of ways. But when we work together properly, there's this beautiful harmony that takes place. Two distinct sounds combine to make one beautiful sound. And this is what happens when my wife and I stop competing with each other and start complimenting each other. It's when we start to realize that we really do need each other. Specifically, we need what's different about us. Do you know that? There's this thing called unison. You know what singing in unison is? It's when men and women sing and it sounds like this. See, that's unison. I play two notes an octave apart. Men sing in one key, women sing another, but that's in unison. And you know, there are things in my marriage where my wife and I do have unison, thank goodness. You know, and it does help to have some things that you think alike on. You know, I know couples that don't have anything they like, you know, they think alike on. But there are some times when we need to be in unison. But there are many, many times in our marriage when we don't need unison, but we need harmony. We need the two differences blending together. And when it happens, it's a beautiful thing. See, when Donna and I disagree on things, we can either fight or we can harmonize. Now, trust me, there's times when we fight. There's times when we harmonize. There are thankfully times when we sing in unison with one another. But the best times are when I really listen to her and I listen to the fact that her thoughts and her opinions are different from mine. And she listens to me and her thoughts and opinion, my thoughts and opinions are different from hers. And somehow we blend the two together and we work together and we reach an agreement. And it's beautiful. We especially saw this true when our kids were teenagers. You know, when your kids are teenagers, you got some really important decisions to make, some really important choices. During those years, you're dealing with things like dating, when, how, who, schoolwork, extracurricular activities, how we're going to manage all that, jobs, curfews, and all those kind of things. Now, in working together, you know what we found? I'm kind of the softy. I know it's hard to believe. Underneath this tough exterior is a really soft guy. With three daughters, it's hard not to be soft. And I would, you know, there's a lot of times when I would sort of be willing to give in. Because I would look at life and I would say, you know, there's a lot of gray here. You know, there's a lot of flexibility here as far as exactly how to apply the rules to certain situations. That's kind of the perspective that I come from. Now, Dawn, on the other hand, she is just a little tougher. She feels like the rules are there for an important reason. And that they're a little less flexible. Now, I'm not saying she's mean or anything, but she is a little tougher, and she sees the world a little more in black and white than I do, right and wrong. Now, what we found was those two really worked good together when we would just be willing to listen to each other. And so there would be a lot of nights when we'd sit around and say, okay, we got this problem coming up. What are we going to do? Okay, tell me what you think. You know, that's what I think. And somehow, when we could meet in the middle, and when we could put my weakness with her strength, my tenderness with her toughness, I won't go any further with that. We'd find a middle ground, and it would be great, and we'd know what to do. And you know what it would do? It would keep us from being at extremes. It would keep us from being rigid and inflexible. It would keep us from just being softies that just let everything go. It would keep us in that middle ground. Guys, listen, when it comes to parenting, extremes very rarely are good places to be. You do know that, don't you? Get away from the extremes. Listen to your spouse. Find that middle ground. See, marriage made me a better person when I started really listening to my wife. And I found that, you know, I needed what she was bringing to the relationship, and she found she needed what I was bringing to the relationship. It wasn't always easy. Don't think it was easy. It wasn't. But there's a blessedness in finding that kind of harmony when two people, two separate notes, come together and blend together. Let me say one last thing when it comes to developing and maintaining harmony in a marriage. It's not so much sometimes what I say as what I've learned not to say that helps me maintain harmony in my marriage. My wife told me yesterday, she said, James, you know, you've been saying a new word lately. I said, what's that? And she said, you go, She said, you've been saying that a lot. And I started thinking, I said, yes, I have. She said, well, why do you do that? I said, because it's safe. Because sometimes she says things to me that I don't agree with. And I've learned, rather than tell her I don't agree with it, I just go, Guys, try it. Because you know what gets me in trouble a lot of times and what sometimes gets her in trouble is we say things that we disagree with. And so what do? We bark back why they're wrong. And we pick fights with one another and we say mean things and hurtful things and use antagonistic words. Sometimes the best thing you can do for your harmony in your marriage is to go, and just let it pass. And then you come back to it later when you need, you know, have more time to think about it. So harmony is important. And then finally, it says there, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. The fourth component to this healthy, leak-proof marriage is to create and cultivate trust in my marriage. Now, the other item that I have up here is a blindfold. Because, you know, sometimes when you get married, you don't realize this until after you get married, that it's sort of like wearing a blindfold sometimes, and you take your spouse's hand, and they start leading you to places, and you really don't know where you're going, and you're really not sure whether you can trust them. Wives, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. But you know what? Trust is vital to a marriage, but it's a very scary thing. Now, let me tell you, you know what builds trust in a marriage? The first three things we talked about. Having proper fences and boundaries in your marriage, creating stability by helping the other person know that it's permanent, and finding harmony in your marriage. When you begin to do these three things, it really cultivates trust in your marriage. And look at the outcome for Adam and Eve. When these two people, they were both naked and they weren't afraid. They were standing there and they weren't embarrassed. They weren't scared of what the other person was going to say about them or to them or make fun of them. Now, obviously, this is a reference to physical nakedness. They were both physically naked, but I think there's so much more here. See, I think Adam and Eve trusted their hearts to one another and their emotions to each other. They weren't afraid to be who they really were. They weren't afraid they were going to be betrayed or be hurt. You know, I think there's probably some spouses here this morning that are actually living in fear. They're living in fear of what their partner might do to them. Physically, maybe. Hopefully not. But more often, emotionally. They're afraid they're going to get cut to pieces by angry words. They live in fear of the unpredictable nature of a spouse who has a hot temper and a short fuse, and they never know what they're going to get. They live in fear of the betrayal of a spouse who has no boundaries in their life. They live in constant fear that that spouse is going to share with somebody else the deep personal things that belong only to them. They live in fear of unwise decisions that are going to be made by a spouse who just simply refuses to listen to them and get their opinion on important issues in life, like money and finances and parenting. Guys, it's not love that is the indispensable ingredient in your marriage. It's trust. You know, love, it's important. Sometimes ebbs and flows in our relationship. But you know what can't ebb and flow? Is the trust in our relationship. It has to be permanent. It has to be the foundation upon which everything else is built. And that's just it. Trust is the foundation that marriage is built on. Without trust, everything else eventually crumbles. Do you trust your spouse? If the answer today is no, then I want you to think back. I want you to sit down with them, and I want you to say, hey, we need to begin to create some boundaries to protect our marriage. We need to develop some stability in our marriage and stop saying hurtful things to one another. We need to find some ways to harmonize our lives with each other. And if we'll do those things, guys, trust will begin to follow. It will begin to be rebuilt, and it will grow again in your marriage. Let me close this morning by just telling you, giving you a little example of something I thought about this week. You know, I have two types of pants in my closet, or two pants made out of two different types of material. Some of the pants in my closet are made out of polyester or rayon. And you know, those pants, they never change. They don't shrink. They don't stretch. Now, the problem is with those pants is that over time, I sometimes change. I sometimes get a little bigger. And I found that when I get a little bigger, those pants don't get bigger with me. They stay the same. But I have another type of pant in my closet. They're pants that are made out of denim. I wore a pair this morning. Jeans. You know what the beauty of jeans are? They stretch and they give. And the more you wear them, you know what they do? They just kind of conform to your body, don't they? I've learned, especially if you wear them four or five times and never wash them, wow, do they really get soft and comfortable. You know, now sometimes you have to hang them up to air dry. But man, they just, you feel like you're just wearing your skin. That's the way denim is. See, there are two types of pants, and there are also two types of spouses. And see, I've met some that are rigid and unchanging, and others that are soft and conforming. What kind of spouse are you today? Are you polyester or are you denim? Are you rigid and unwilling to change? Are you unwilling to conform as your spouse changes? And you know they do change through the years. And one of the real keys as you move through your marriage is you have to be willing to move and change with them. Some of you haven't been willing to do that. And you've just been griping and you've been complaining because they've changed. Hey, we change. Guys, are you like that, or are you more like denim? Do you just stretch and give a little bit when you need to? Do you soften with age? Have you? Or have you gotten harder? Do you allow yourself to change so that you can fit your spouse a little better? Yeah, sometimes you had to get a little bigger. Sometimes you maybe had to, you know, buckle up the belt a little bit more. But change is not a bad thing. Change is usually a good thing. You know, I've found that God really wants to mold us, but we have to be willing to be molded. Marriages don't work often because people won't change. We stick ourselves in our corner and we say to the other person, you change and then I'll love you. And they look back at us and they say, you change and I'll love you. And God says, you both need to change and we'll get along and we'll work it out. You know, that roof on my sunroom, it took a lot of effort and a lot of resources to fix it. But you know what? It is really nice. And I'm looking for, it's supposed to rain tomorrow. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to go sit under my new roof. I'm just going to be happy. No drips. Guys, that's the way our marriages are. When we can stop some of the drips from falling, and when we can fix some things, it's amazing how much more fun things get around the house. If we're just willing to take the effort and use the resources, it'll be worth it. Are you ready to start fixing some of those leaks? I challenge you to today.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor James Chapman. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor James' teaching ministry by visiting calvarycsm.com.